Late one Monday evening, the smoke was billowing black. The neighborhood was set ablaze by cops on the attack. Shots were flying through the flames, the neighbors looked concerned as firefighters stood and watched a block of buildings burn. It was urban renewal of the 1980s flare. If your home's the inner city, that's your look and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a pretty neighborhood. A family that would not move is now the move for good. They had dirt and they had garbage, too many dogs and cats. Their children wandered naked, in their home they welcomed rats. They were loud and antisocial, they were violent and rude. They were primitive and hostile, and they had to be subdued. So it was urban renewal in the 1980s flare. Your home's the inner city, what you look and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a pretty neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Their hair did not look proper. Their attitude was bad. Their radical ideas made decent people mad. We had to rout them out, you see. We had no other choice. The people here, they're all agreed in one distinct voice. It was urban renewal for the 1980s flare. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a city neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Now the police don't call it a bomb, it was an entry device. Those weirdos wouldn't leave, even when we asked them nice. They tried water guns and tear gas, just to get those cooks to move. The bomb was not a good idea, though the mayor did approve. Cause it was urban renewal, with the 1980s flare. If your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a fully neighborhood. A family that would not move, but now removed for good. Yes, it was urban renewal, unremoved from up above. Even out the riffraff from the city of brotherly love. So be sure to code your lifestyle, clean your house and fold your kids. Or you may wind up the rubber heap within the city's grids. When it's urban renewal for the 1980s flare. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed from birth. Urban renewal for the 1980s flare. Your home's the inner city, what's your looks and what you wear. Urban renewal time for a Philly neighborhood. A family that would not move is now removed for good. Oh, yes, a family that would not move is now removed for good. Well, now a family that did not move is now removed for good.
And that's another song by Mark Levy from his Take Off Your Clothes album. That one's called Urban Renewal. I'm the Move, of course, was the name of an organization in Philadelphia. Black, kind of back to nature, self-determination group that was firebombed by the Philadelphia police in the early 80s. Mumia Abu-Jamal is a member of Move. He's still in jail. And Ramona Africa was jailed for a number of years, has since secured $500,000 to $1 million from the city in a lawsuit. She came here and spoke here in Santa Cruz about 6 months ago at a forum at UCSC and supported the City Hall Sleepers protest on the right of homeless people to sleep at night, something unfortunately that the majority of the candidates running for city council at the latest city council candidates forum at UCSC last night were unable to do, which leads me to encourage voters, if this tape is played before the November 5th election, to vote for simply two candidates for city council. Mark your ballot only twice for David Silva and Kristen Anderson. Don't even bother voting for Byers. Don't bother voting for anyone else. Byers has said she favors some modifications in the sleeping ban, but I think actions speak louder than words, and her refusal to bring this issue up in the last couple of months, when it would have been an important issue and galvanized people around the issue and created a lot of publicity and a lot of... It would have forced city council members to confront the very, very basic question, how do you arrest people for sleeping when there are 38 places for 500 to 1,500 homeless people? A question which never appears in the Sentinel, never appears in the Metro, never appears in the Good Times, rarely appears on the radio, and which is shuffled off immediately by facts like Mike Watkin, who is currently mayor of the town, or at least will be until the new mayor is chosen in November. Anyway, Byers refused to bring this matter up to a vote. She would have lost the vote, but it would have been significant in creating a public debate. And in not doing so, she in essence made me think, well, I don't want to vote for her. It's not that I really actively oppose her. I think that if somebody else brought it up for a vote, she would vote for it. But we need people who are active, and she's been around long enough, has enough prestige. She was the major vote-getter in the last election, so she really has no excuse. Other than that's her personal style and her way of doing things and the way she works and so forth, and that's not a good enough answer for me. So again, I recommend Anderson and Silva. Kristen Anderson, who's a librarian who favors 24-hour bathrooms and eco-camping, walking campgrounds that everybody can use, particularly people who are poor and have no place else to go. David Silva, who favors thorough investigation and revamping of priorities downtown, all kinds of measures that involve the new Green Party philosophy. And both of them, as I said, stand for lifting the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, which I think would be a major change that would result in people not being harassed and people being able to safely congregate. And it would also put pressure on the city for the city to find a campground, because people would begin to start being visible, which of course would provoke a public reaction, and the city would have to deal with that. Human rights is like that. Human beings should not have to hide in the bushes under the bridges and on the outskirts of the town. That's just not how it should be. And the argument that Mayor Michael Watkin uses, that other cities do that and that we are just doing what they do, is doo-doo. So mark those ballots on the 5th of November for Kristen Anderson and David Silva, or before the 5th if you're going to get an absentee ballot.
Can't blame the old state, and we can't blame music in their face. I say, why can't we play music around here? I say, why can't we play music around here? What is the feel of music around here? Around here, I mean, something happened after the earthquake. I remember when this town was alive and awake, and now they can't even do anything. Everybody's talking about both things.
You're listening to a musician drumming on the edge of the farmer's market in early October. He and a fellow musician, I believe, man with a guitar, were trying to sing in the farmer's market when they were ordered to leave. Apparently there is no music in the farmer's market. It's sort of a long-term edict since the farmer's market located downtown and moved from its place at the Fords parking lot in 1991-92. You're going to hear these two musicians talking about how unfair and repressive and counterproductive this policy is. And you're also going to hear the justification and defense by Lori Hennings and another man who represent the bureaucracy of the farmer's market. This is, to me, a very important issue. I think music obviously should be allowed in the farmer's market. The pretext and excuses they had made little sense to me, but hear the musicians speaking or singing for themselves. And if you do go to the farmer's market on Wednesday afternoon downtown, support the musicians if you see them, because I noticed the people running this were very kind of backed off when crowds of people started saying, let them play. Interestingly enough, not only did they want them not to play in the farmer's market, they tried to move them off the sidewalk and across the street. Very
what would you call it, anal control-oriented kind of philosophy from the point of view of the, well, they were describing the personalities of the people who were making these orders, but more important, they were changing, sterilizing the atmosphere of the farmer's market and the atmosphere of the downtown, which sounds familiar to me. That's the whole gentrification push that's happened in the last couple of years in downtown Santa Cruz under the downtown ordinances. That's why we have these cheesy little lighted Christmas trees up and down the avenue, and these the end of the broad kind of wandering mall we used to have. That's why you have laws against homeless people and anybody sitting down near a shop. That's why you have the increased harassment of people at Cathcart and Pacific by the cops, particularly officers Eveleth and Over, apparently have taken it upon themselves or been quietly instructed to do what they can to run people out of town. That seems to be what they're doing. Anyway, here's the farmer's market music controversy. Outside the farmer's market here on Lincoln. A little bit later in this tape, we have a brief selection from a musician here who has apparently been shoved to the sidelines of the farmer's market and is not being allowed to sing, play, and generally celebrate inside. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I've watched them from coming down here from doing music at the Eugene Market and Portland Market. I come down here and I watch this place push music out of their market. There's not a bit of music in there, but there's a bunch of long hair hippies and fake dreadlocks that are claiming to be of peace and love and music and organic food and stuff like that. And how did they let music get separated from their trip?
Not only aren't they letting us play music inside the market, but they're trying to make us not play music outside the market. That song that you just heard was us playing outside the market.
Right.
And now they're trying to tell us that we can't play outside the market either, as well as inside the market.
Reinforcement.
And for the radio, for the free radio, here comes the security, so you might be able to get their side of it,
but
too.
My deal was to her, I'd like to see my accuser, bring the person. I want to see if they have long hair or short hair, but just for my own satisfaction. I want to see who stands around in the background of all little things that people are going to do and complain from behind a tree or behind the background that they're disturbing us. Did all these people go to somebody and say, I'm being disturbed? Or to one person? That's what I would like to know. I want to see who it is who is calling those shots. I want to see if there is anybody. You know, if they can't show me somebody.
Well, actually, you can say what you want, but I'd like to keep it on. I mean, you're on the record. I mean, why not? You're talking in public, so.
Being on the record.
What exactly are you doing?
What am I doing?
You're just running this tape recorder on an interview with us.
What's it for?
I'm interviewing free radio.
Free radio?
Yeah.
I'm on radio.
You're on the radio.
I'm on air.
So what's the problem with the folks doing music here?
I ain't got no problem.
I'm not going to identify who you are.
Your name isn't on it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
You don't have any personal problem with it.
No, I've got no personal problem with it.
Well, who has the problem?
Who has the problem? I'm just saying though that we've already spoken to by the manager at the market already. And she said that if it becomes a problem and stuff, she's going to ask the question.
Right. Well,
what's the problem?
Who's the manager
of
the crowd?
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, you might send her over if you see her.
Well, we started playing at 5:30, and it's not even 6:05. So I think, according to agreements that the city performers and the drum council worked out with the city council, If you're standing in one place on the sidewalk and you're not blocking an avenue of entry and you're not there for more than an hour or excessively loud, we've pretty much come to the agreement that it's all right to play there.
We both were on that committee that went through the deal. It's not 8 o'clock
so,
yet. Drumming don't stop in town.
Well, you're not here to tell them not to play music, are you?
No,
no,
I'm just
no, no.
To sit there and say, hey, right. You know, if it's broken, the merchants or whatever, just kind of, you know, mellow it down a little bit.
Right, well, I,
that's all.
Do you have any merchants actually come over and complain, or just the manager?
I don't know. I just got back and trying to find somebody who robbed some money from one of them.
That sounds like a reasonable thing to do.
Sending over you to
so what's your name?
Nobody's robbing
first
over
name.
Here where the music is at.
Nancy.
Okay, Nancy. Yeah, we're not sure when this tape will come on, but anyway, this is a PSI, two PSI people, and they seem to be largely sympathetic to musicians, so I'd say keep on singing, keep on playing, let us, you know, that's what I'd say.
I would like to find out who this manager is. That's who she went to get the someone to come and talk.
The manager is, if it's the same manager who was here a year ago, it's the same person who wants to deny food to the organization Food Not Bombs. Very kind of reactionary business type person. Who,
I hate to tell that person, we are on the sidewalk.
Well,
it has nothing to do with the
well,
parking lot and food.
Don't
people.
Worry about her. She has no power over you. Sing on is what I would say. You know, you are right. You are on the sidewalk. It's not you're, as long as you're not. Right.
No, I don't see who does have a problem except the manager of this market.
Yeah.
Who is the manager of the market?
Okay. My partner is getting the manager right now.
Okay, he didn't say that. He said he was too busy chasing after somebody. I listen very well. I'm much older than you. You could be my kid. I don't get fooled around by the shuffle of things.
That's not the problem. You know, he's leaving. He asked me which way they went.
Musicians barred from Farmer's Market. Check it out, folks.
No, we don't need to be announcing that.
Yes, we do.
No.
Oh, yes,
this is
we do.
A free deal.
Musicians barred from Farmer's
understand.
Market. Check it out. Don't
that's what you don't understand when you take on a bag.
Sure,
that
sure.
We can do whatever we want to, as long as we're not out there selling.
Check it out. Farmer's Market bars musicians.
Being in game.
Check it out.
You know, it's like.
But we're not yet barred. They're not letting us play inside there. Now they're trying to ask us to stop playing outside there too.
Outside of their market. What happened to you guys with the music in the market? Eugene and Portland are laughing at you guys down here. That you let the music get kicked out of your living room.
Complaints by the merchants for what? Musicians to leave.
Or complaints by the manager, anyway.
Nobody complained. The person don't want musicians to play because they're going to take some money out of their pocket.
It's like people on the mall playing all the time.
We're not even in the market. These people don't even know. We haven't even been here for an hour. We're not playing loud, and we're good.
No.
And people like us.
Support the musicians, folks.
Well, it's not
no,
she's
just a hired hand.
I want to see the manager, but as of yet, the manager is never.
So let's hear some music.
No music.
Right. Support your local musician, folks.
You know that I love you. Oh, I cannot help myself. I love you. And nobody else. Oh, I say in and out my life. In and out. You come and you go. Leaving just your picture behind. And I've kissed it a thousand times. When you slap your finger or wink your eye, I come a-running to you. I get a half choked up inside. Oh, there's a...
Reverend Vinay, you've been on the scene, listening to these musicians. What's been going on?
Well, the woman who's working with the security guard out here came up and told them, those people, those entertainers, to move across the street. And they flatly refused. They said they're outside the market. The market's with that part. They're out here that they have every right to be here. And I find them very entertaining, so I've been watching this. Not only that, but I think it's a good spirit that they're exhibiting by not quitting and not leaving. And I support that totally.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to go through the market informing people what the market's trying to do. seems to me to be outrageous.
I think it's noteworthy that the community knows that this is happening, because it's one thing for them to control that space, it's another thing to try to control outside that space.
Yeah, but also it's significant they're trying to remove music from inside the market, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. We have other communities where music is integral to the market. They bring the music there, they hire music to come there, give the market a spirit of community and a spirit of festivity. That's what the market has always been historically. The marketplace has been a place of human festivity and human culture.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's time to ask a few loud questions in the market.
Absolutely. I support you doing that. Have fun.
Thank you. So you're a passerby. Is this music annoying you here?
No, I love it. Makes me feel good.
So apparently you're just not in swing with the management of the market here.
I guess not, because I like to shop, get my vegetables, listen to music. They're not even inside the market. They're on the street just like anybody else. They're a lot better than a lot of other people I usually hear. So
thank you.
So I'm hanging out.
Would you like to know my name?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm Robert, by the way.
I'm Joe, Robert.
Hey, Joe. Okay. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good.
Joe Curry. We used to have musicians in the market that were invited in the market and could collect donations.
Right.
And it got to be too noisy and too hectic. And when the musicians would set up next to a farmer, sometimes there'd be a large crowd of people would gather around the musicians. And the crowd would be paying attention to the musicians.
Not to the market.
And they'd be blocking the access to some farmer's stall. And so the farmer who got to be next to the musicians would more often than not feel like he was being handicapped, because people, if it was a really dynamite musician or group that drew a large crowd, the farmer couldn't do business because his access to his stall was blocked. And at that point, people started to complain about having musicians in the market.
How long ago was it?
That was when we were in the Ford's lot.
Uh-huh.
And
years ago.
It was, how long ago were we in the Ford's lot? 3-4 years ago when we were set up in the Ford's lot. And, you know, it's kind of hectic in here anyway, you know, without the musicians. And the musicians, you know, I like the musicians, basically, I like them. And I think that, you know, I think there's a right place for them, and, you know, when they're not blocking access to somebody or something, I think it's great.
We have like a space venue, you know, to accommodate is what we found too. You know, musicians and people wanting to stop and listen to them. The drumming is a whole kind of
different issue.
Well, it's a different kind of, it carries farther, you know, versus guitars. And so that's where we found that it's been a little bit harder sometimes to have a drummer very close to a farmer without that, you know, affecting them as far as volume or, you know, or them not being able to take a break from the drumming unless the drummers took a break.
So this hasn't really been, it's been a rule pretty much since you left the farmer's market area that was over the first farmer's market area?
Yeah, where it was in the Ford's lot.
The drummers have said, and just to play devil's advocate here, that they've been in Eugene and Portland Farmers Market and not had problems. Has it not been possible to deal with this on a complaint basis rather than as a sort of a general blanket ban?
You know, I don't know that we haven't really tried to deal with it on an individual complaint basis in a long time.
We actually had drummers here for quite a while, you know, like even starting when we were in the Ford lot, and even when we came here, some tried, you know, in different areas. And I know I had to, a lot of times, you know, go and ask them, you know, can you try turning it down? You know, can you move over and, you know, give these guys, you know, are getting a little, you know, a little hard on them, give them a break, kind of move around sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a lot of time spent, you know, seeing if we can manage
it. In the old location.
Actually, in the old location and
when you were down on the main street,
we shifted over and stuff too, because drummers still, we're still here and stuff.
What about the question of drummers, say, on the sidewalk? They were concerned that, I know whether you spoke to them or someone else, they said they wanted them to move from the sidewalk across the street. Mm-hmm. Was that from the management here, or was that just from a security guard? Or?
We don't really know, to be really honest with you, where the boundary of the market is right now. We don't know if that sidewalk is part of the market or not right now. And it's something that we're trying to get clarified with the city, where the boundaries are. So, you know, if somebody asked them to leave the sidewalk, I don't really know if that's a legitimate request or not.
Well, I know that the two of them did want to talk to you about it. They're obviously somewhat concerned about it. But I appreciate the explanations you've given me. I probably take a different position myself on that, but I'm not running the market, and obviously we're in different roles. But I think it might be productive for you to just, you know, tell them your perspective. They might not agree with you, but at least you'd have done them the dignity of, you know, telling them what's cooking. They're right over there. Okay. So thanks, Larry. Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Jim, you heard these two managers talking. What's your take on this?
It sounds like a stalemate to me. They're not really trying to think of ways to include the musicians at all. Maybe they could give them a couple parking spaces or something on the edge every time they hold the market. Apparently, giving them spaces inside the market won't work.
The farmer's market closed to music from the street. Wow, this is Santa Cruz after all. If you're interested in dealing with this situation, come on down to the farmer's market on Wednesday and bring your guitar. I think that would be one way to do it. They won't arrest you. They'll tell you to leave, perhaps, but I think we should get more and more evidence of the kind of repression that's going on and then fight back. What do you think? If you have any comments about anything you're hearing on the air here, and you are listening to Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides at 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will play on the air your recorded response to anything you hear. We're concerned about issues involving civil rights for poor people, the homeless, rights of musicians, street jewelers, folks who don't have as much as other people but want to share the public spaces with the rest of us.
Bench in the land is the Honorable Justice Rehnquist, rendering opinions when our liberty takes the stand with the gavel of truth in his clenched fist. Housing discrimination was declared illegal, but William can't sell his to Mr. Brown or Mr. Siegel. Well, it might ruffle the feathers of the American eagle, says the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Interpreting the highest law of our nation is the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Affirmative action is reverse discrimination, says our new Chief Justice, case dismissed. missed. Constitutional intent is what he means to say, lest our founding framing fathers should roll over in their graves. For never in their wildest dreams would they have freed their slaves, says the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Presiding over cases which will set a precedent is the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Fondling his gavel as he makes his argument, ruling who and what and where can be kissed. Homosexuality is anti-family, and all the other judges are inclined to agree. Rather than flunk jury Falwell's test of morality, grins the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Now the Right Reverend Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Preaching from his chamber, it's a sin to abort with a flick of his judicially bent wrist. Women look better in the family way, barefoot and pregnant is what we used to say. It'll never be the same if they pass the ERA, quoth the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. Presidents to uphold the law is the Honorable Justice Rehnquist. William, pardon us if we suppress a guffaw, but your politics are far from centrist. Antonin Scalia will be filling your seat to make the composition of the court more complete. And Mr. Meese will serve them up the Bill of Rights to eat for the Honorable Justice. We're your fathers, trust us, Billy, you disgust us, Rehnquist.
Yeah, that was a song about the Supreme Court, circa 1986, when Rehnquist became Chief Justice, which he still is 10 years later. Probably one of the worst on the court, and the leader of the court, unfortunately. Courts, though they've been proposed as a solution for the sleeping ban problems here in Santa Cruz, aren't really. It's good to put pressure on the city through the courts. It's good to publicize things through the courts. It's good to involve the judges in the reality that lots of poor people are willing to go to court to fight, but to rely on the courts with any faith, of course, is foolish. The sleeping ban was held constitutional by Judge Kangaroo Kelly on August 30th or 31st this year, when Kate Wells, Catnip Kate, our attorney, tried to have the whole bunch of charges at the City Hall sleepers protest thrown out on what we call a demur, which claimed the law was unconstitutional. That demur was denied, and she's decided not to appeal it, because what she's going to do instead is try some cases, maybe one case as a trial case, and then when the person is found guilty, appeal that case. So it's, again, way down the road if we get any action. And nonetheless, those of us concerned about rights do look to the courts, because the courts are supposed to be in the business of defending human rights, and occasionally they do, as they did to some extent in the 60s and at various other times. And occasionally they'll surprise you. But generally what you need to do, of course, is combine electoral activity like this electioneering we're trying to do to kick out Matthews and Rotkin, and bring in Kristen Anderson and David Minton Silva, with street action, with ongoing organizing through existing organizations like the Greens and the Peace and Freedom Party that now favor ending the sleeping ban, with mass outreach through signing people up on the mall, getting their phone numbers, calling them, getting them to come down to demonstrations, and so forth. And indeed, we had a very successful demonstration up at the Howard Zinn concert about 4 or 5 days ago. A concert isn't quite the word, it was a reading. Zinn is a historian who did the People's History of the United States. And he's sort of a darling of the radicals, and of course where radicals gather, there's always an opportunity to let them know what's really going on with the homeless, and what their so-called representatives, Rotkin, Matthews, Kennedy, and so forth, are actually doing.
or not doing in terms of the rights of homeless people. There was also a UCSC City Council Candidates Forum last night, and here's an excerpt from that forum. A lot of candidates showed up, all but Chad Waters and Roden. Roden apparently has kind of disappeared. He's the perennial I'm the homeless issue candidate who suddenly disappears in the midst of the campaign. Rather cynical about Roden, but why beat that particular rat to death now? Not necessary. Main rat is Mayor Ratkin, who did show up, and here's some of what happened. At that forum, the moderator of the forum, Jessica Miller, declined to allow any questions from the homeless activists who had come until every student essentially had been given a chance to ask every question they wanted. Because there were so few people in the audience, finally, a homeless activist was allowed to ask a question. Daniel Hopkins asked, if you're spending $8.1 million on social services, why the hell are things so bad? And Rotkin and the others gave standard replies. Then Cy, another homeless activist who is also holding down two jobs, one of them is a security guard at Long's, another is a security guard at Zanotto's, asked a very forceful question concerning discrimination.
It's a good question right now. Well, okay, I'm homeless because I was denied a lot of housing, and I noticed you were a mill on 209. I'd like to ask you that, okay, Dr. Rodkin, you got elected on a your left-wing platform, and Santa Cruz is the place for alternative lifestyles, and that's why we come here, why we're here, okay? But yet, you know, why is it that when people like you, we elect you on a very left-wing premise, we work very hard to get you in here, okay, trying to fight the extreme right, but yet we find you and many other politicians maybe falling to the right-wing and racist agenda like the woman way on the right over there probably promotes. We found it even coming here.
Are you referring to me?
Yeah, okay, the people clamping down on people with alternative lifestyles that look differently. The police have attacked people of color, okay? The police attack, we can see with two other renegade officers attacking people of color, people like myself. The university has had a hell of a time. Look, I'm the darkest, you know, graduate student here. Ta-da. And, you know, we have run into a great deal of trouble with housing. Even the co-op center that is over in Laurel Street, you know, basically gives me, he says, oh, well, gee, we're looking into it, but I've never been housed. Whereas white guys who have been convicted even rape have managed to find inner housing and have managed to find things. I am wondering what kind of work can you do not only with the discrimination that puts us out on the street, okay, and deal with this issue, number one, you know, Dr. Rodkin. Second of all, why won't you stand up? What is the problem with some of these politicians that get elected on this left-wing premise that we really fight for, okay? We want this here. This is alternative lifestyle here in Santa Cruz, and we want.
I mean, it's hard to know where to begin. I took personal responsibility, and there's a bunch of different questions around affirmative action issues, issues around people of color. I took personal responsibility for setting up the first affirmative action program in the city of Santa Cruz. Has it been successful? We doubled the number of women, the percentage of women that work for the city, and therefore roughly the number of women. We've tripled the number of people of color that work for the city of Santa Cruz since I was first elected in 1979. I set up the first affirmative action program at the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. You can see the results when you go down there. As far as the transit district, look who's driving the buses. That's an affirmative action program. People said you can't do it because Santa Cruz has a very largely white population. So we went out of our way to make sure that we had an affirmative action program that really looked for the diversity of the people that were hired. You have to look at people's records, not the words. I could say all kinds of great stuff about my view.
Michael Hernandez, the police officer's friend on the Police Review Commission and also a candidate for city council, had this response.
I'm in an interracial marriage. I have my children are half white, half brown, and part Polynesian and part Italian. And since I've lived here in 15 years, I've actually been discriminated more for being fat than I've ever been for being brown. So I don't know where you're different from, because especially at this council level. I mean, we have a lot of people in this community that I've been very, very, very fortunate, and maybe that's the nature of it, but everybody that I know, this community has embraced people of color far greater than any community I've ever lived in. So, you come here, you talk about racism being an issue. The very first day you came here, about 3 months ago, you walked in here in a $125 jacket, and $150 shoes, and a $100 watch, and you complained about being homeless? I'm sorry, my man. This is not a racial issue. Being homeless is maybe an issue of shortage of houses. In your case, you were complaining about, you said you had the money to rent a house, but you couldn't buy one. And The issue doesn't bother you. Racism isn't an issue, Stanford, for me. I believe racism exists, but for the most part, I'm not going to sit here and hear you call people on this panel here racist, because you don't know anything about us.
Eleanor Eisenberg, formerly with ACLU, or perhaps presently with ACLU, recommended using the law to deal with issues of discrimination. Kristen Anderson said, well, you can't blame Mike much because he's coming into a conservative community. And then David Silva spoke.
I'm gay. I'm HIV positive, been HIV positive 19 years, and in about 3 weeks I'll no longer be HIV positive the way I'm going. I'm a weird person of politics, and politics and heals me. Within the situation, because I do holistic things. But I have found, when I was in Fresno, a town that's very racially divided, very violent, one of the probably worst communities to live in the United States. But the residents of the county there, there was no problem with sexism and homophobia. But working for the county here, there was a problem with sexism, homophobia, and discrimination against my HIV status. And it is still taking an eternity to correct that problem. And the reason is because this is a small town. And there's a lot of inbreeding in the county. So the county bureaucracy is very well inbred. So they don't, the progressive elite see themselves as being too good to have done any wrong to anyone. So when you make a complaint, the only thing a shop steward, which is what I am at heart always, can do is try to find out where they messed up on due process. And it's very hard. Sorry, Elmer, it's very hard to use the law and prove discrimination. I think I'd like to succeed, but it's very painful and takes, it's a very long, painful process. So I think that you are touching on a problem that we have in Santa Cruz, especially in Santa Cruz County government, is that we're so progressive we can't possibly be doing that wrong, so it must be your fault notion. So we have to get past that. And it doesn't, name calling, I'm afraid, is not the solution to that.
Then I got in the last question of the night.
The Sentinel has done a kind of an extensive quote from each of you on what it terms the camping gang. But when I talked to several of you before this meeting, you claimed you'd been misquoted in some respect. The Sentinel occasionally does that, misquotes people. So I'm interested in the sleeping ban provision before you all go to sleep. Of the camping ban. That is the section that makes it illegal to go to sleep in Santa Cruz after 11 and to cover it up with blankets. I'm not interested in the tents, I'm not interested in encampments. I mean, I am, but I'm more interested in this particular thing. I regard it as a civil rights issue. I've heard it said by Mike, for instance, as one speaker on this, that if you, every other city harasses its homeless people, we just put it into the law, and therefore it's a sort of a more legalistic approach. People can know what to expect. In the South, in the 50s, and this is, I'll get to it. In the South in the 50s, one city would say, well, everybody just segregates. We're just segregating like everybody else. You know, in South Africa, oh yeah, we have to discriminate against white, but against black, everybody does that. My question to you is, if other cities do harass its homeless and don't let them sleep at night, is this something Santa Cruz should do?
I don't have a problem with where people sleep.
But you favor keeping the sleeping bag.
That's your answer, really.
That's right, I'm concerned. I support a campground. I'm not going to support Open Hotel Santa Cruz.
There is no campground.
I support the idea of a campground then.
Until then,
I haven't got a problem with where you sleep. You sleep at a house. You've always lived at a house, as far as I've known.
Sometimes
that's right. Overlooking the yacht island.
Never overlook the yacht
island. It's evil. Basically, the city of Santa Cruz is in the same position that other cities are around the country, which is, if you let people sleep outdoors at night and call that the solution to your homeless program or your homeless problem, I think you're fooling yourself. I think the reality is that we need to provide shelters for people. We need transitional programs to get people out of homelessness. The solution to this problem is not an imagine that by giving people permission to sleep somewhere outdoors, it might fix the problem. The reality is that right now in the city of Santa Cruz, we have enforcement on a complaint basis of a camping ban, or the sleeping part of the ban, if Robert wants to focus on that. And the reality is there are like thousands of people probably ultimately in this northern part of Santa Cruz County that sleep outdoors in different places and never get hassled by the police or anybody else. There are certain places where you know if you're going to sleep outdoors, you're going to get hassled by the police. Right, if you sleep in front of City Hall, make a point, sure. You want to have a protest and announce that you're breaking the law, people will come and cite you. If you try and sleep in somebody's front yard and they call the police will come out and first they'll ask you to leave, and if you tell them to get screwed, then they'll give you a citation. If you sleep on somebody's yard. If you sleep on somebody's private business, in a car or just on the sidewalk or somewhere else, and a person calls the police will come and enforce the law. But to represent that somehow the city of Santa Cruz is out there seeking out the homeless, trying to bust them, trying to make their lives miserable, is an outrageous lie about the situation.
True.
And in the city of Santa Cruz, it may be, again, to make a fair comparison, in the city of Carmel, there's no law against sleeping outdoors. But in the city of Carmel, if you sit on a park bench and you look weird, the police will come and ask you what you're doing there. So the city of Santa Cruz is not deserving of special attention for the way we treat homeless people.
Can I just talk? I think to have a sleeping ban is shameful in itself. As long as we have the process of ticketing and eventual incarceration, we're doing nothing but feeding the police industrial prison industrial complex. I think that we have to stop